This podcast is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds, all online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10.
Local talk jock Howie Carr, he'll just be another lost voice.
Are we to look at this as an end of an era in Boston?
He has no place to go. AM talk is just too dumb. I mean, it's too tedious and repetitive.
And this is just, you know, one more indication of how outrageous he can be.
Here they are ripping me now, and I'm still here.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
And I'm still here.
It's Howie Carr.
The Globe is really on top of things today. They've reported earlier today that Karen Reed's SUV is going to be auctioned off. Huh.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
Wonder where they got that story from. And then, now, just about an hour ago, Peruvian man living in Everett detained by ICE after alleged hit-and-run crash, officials say. You mean he's not an Everett man? I guess, again, it was in the Herald. It's been all over the news for the last 24 hours. So they couldn't call him an Everett man. A native of Peru who was living in Everett. Was he a llama? A native of Peru was detained by ICE agents on Tuesday, 2 days after he allegedly struck and seriously injured a 63-year-old woman with his car before driving away. I like this too. Brando Diaz-Sanchez, also known as Diaz-Sanchez.
And I get compliments on the hyphen.
In other words, is that one of those names an alias? Alias? Oh, boy.
I've seen a lot of llamas.
The Middlesex County District Attorney's Office did not respond to a request for comment. No, if it had been an American, or if it had been an American who struck somebody in a crosswalk riding a bicycle on their way to some kind of vegan fest, that would be a huge, they would have plenty of comments then. They'd be holding him without bail. But this is the same Middlesex District Attorney's Office who refused to prosecute the Haitian in Marlboro who knocked up his own daughter. And instead they put him, somebody put him in an Uber and sent him into the next county so he couldn't be arrested for a while. So of course they're not going to. So both of the stories have the same thing. Diaz-Sanchez's arrest by immigration agents was previously reported by the Boston Herald. The auction of Karen Reed's SUV was previously reported by the Boston Herald. I mean, you know, we're kind of an undermanned, underwomaned newspaper. But, you know, the Globe is, you know, not what it used to be either. But they don't even try. The Globe doesn't cover the news. It covers up the news. 844-500-4242. In other news that hasn't been reported yet, the cannabis cafes are finally coming to Massachusetts. I'm sorry. I should have reported this news at 420. But, just what we need. More places to get high. Oh, but they won't be allowed to serve alcohol. Oh, okay. You won't. No one will ever bring a nip into the cannabis cafe, though, will they? No, not at all. All right, time for the chump line.
Is it true that Hillary is teaching Jasmine Crockett how to speak ghetto?
We've got a great Jasmine cut. She said, I challenge anyone to tell me any Democrats promoting violence against their political opponents. So it took the RNC about an hour and a half to put together a two-minute spot. We'll play it for you in a bit.
Oh, yeah, I was watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer the other night, and I believe I discovered what really happened to Karen Reed's taillight.
I hope everyone is taking good care of their taillight that they got at all of our book signings last week. We gave out a lot of taillight. But, you know, there's always more taillight available. Just go to 34 Fairview Road in Canton, and you can find as much as you need, as much as you want, even during the winter. Today's Chump Light is sponsored by Jake Rooney's in Harwichport. I love their tender steak tips, and the mailroom manager always gets their lobster roll, which is packed with freshness. Come hungry and leave happy at Jake Rooney's on the curve in Harwichport.
Hi, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. There you go again, continuing to make sport of Lamara Healey. I mean, Mara Healey, because she's snorting. I mean, holding the line with Lamar Cook. That young fella's anecdote was a nonviolent crime that was a failure of communication with a delivery person. After all, I'd rather see someone receive a full Coke package than violently throw an empty Coke can. We're going to be fine.
Oh, that was the best one from Duvall in a long time. He worked in a number of different angles in that one, including the empty Coke can that he was struck with. They asked Duvall, "Oh, you say you're a street kid from the mean streets of the South Side of Chicago. Were you ever a victim of a senseless street crime?" "Yes," he said. "Someone once tossed an empty Coke can, and it hit me on the forehead." Oh, oh, the horror.
If a turbine blade falls into the ocean and Maura Healey isn't there to hear it, do our electric rates still skyrocket up?
Yes, they do. That's the one falling in Hull. Not to be confused with the one that tumbled last month in Newburyport, or the blade that fell into the cranberry bog in, I think, Bourne, or the one that fell into the calm seas and then washed up on the beach in Nantucket Sound in the summer of 2024. How many more, Mr. Speaker? How many more of these silly windmills must fall down?
Hey, Joyless Reed, Frosty the Snowman's a honky. What do you think about that?
Joy's dreaming of a non-white Christmas, just like Santa the ones. Did Joe Pesci ever record any Christmas tunes? Well, he'll be out in a couple of years, and he'll have a chance to record his own Christmas album, just like Mariah Carey. Or Bing Crosby going way back.
Ready for tonight! Oh!
This year, though, he's locked up, so he'll be having a, as Elvis would say, a blue Christmas.
Hey, Howie, did you hear Congressman Benny Johnson threaten Kristi Noem today? He said he was going to axe her.
He did. Now that you mention it, he did. Is that considered assault in the District of Columbia? That's a threat.
Allow me to ask my question.
Allow me to ask my question.
Seeing that it was a slow news day, the deep state decided to create their own stir by having Maryland man released again.
Yes, the same judge wants to release Maryland man for Christmas. So he can, I don't know, what's the first thing he's going to do? Get back into human smuggling or beat up his quote-unquote wife? Or get a new gang tattoo? Or probably go to the welfare office. That's job one for all illegal aliens.
Lovey, what a funny gag birthday gift you've given me. A signed copy of Mass Corruption Volume 1? The signature looks like it was written by a 6-year-old learning cursive. I figured you'd give me Genghis Khan's autobiography. What is it called again? One Flew Over the Handlebars?
I didn't come here to be made sport of. I try to make my signature legible. And, you know, John Kerry, you ever look at John Forbes Kerry's signature? He is aping a certain person with the same initials, JFK. It's the same signature as John F. Kennedy, who he so desperately desired to be. But it was not to be.
When asked who could possibly afford Trump's million-dollar immigrant gold card, Ilhan Omar replied, "I know some people."
She's only worth $30 million. This is, what did she say? This is one of the worst countries in the world. How does it stack up against Somalia, Ilhan? And by the way, I've got a story about her brother. They found her brother, the brother that she married. He's gay. It seems more and more likely. He calls himself a dirty dandy. And he's been studying in South Africa. I'll read it right now. He's been studying at Bristol University in the UK. And his areas of study are listed as critically queer. Yes, I said it. Critically queer. Decolonization, Gender Research Group, and Center for Black Humanities. The New York Post calls him flamboyant. That's a euphemism, you know. He's been in South Africa lately. He wrote in one post, "So far, so fab. A month in Joburg." Oh. Okay.
I don't like the world now.
He was married to Ilhan by a Christian minister, by the way. She had two kids by her first husband, and she had a third kid while she was, quote-unquote, married to her alleged brother.
Was the one who married him the Christ Compels You guy at the congressional hearing today?
Either that or the Christ Compels You from The Exorcist. Have we ever seen... I'm sorry. I'm not believing that a real Catholic priest is quoting a famous line from The Exorcist as he's ripping into Christy Noem. I think it was another gag. Maybe it was. Have we seen Ilhan Omar's brother? Is he back from So Far So Fab Joburg lately? Maybe he was the guy who was there today attacking Christy Noem.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
Oh, no, breaking. Maryland man was just released from custody. So he can go back to A, human smuggling, B, domestic abuse, C, getting more tattoos with his gangbanger pals. Who knows? Who knows? Merry Christmas to Maryland man. All right, that's it for the Chump Line. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any time between the hours of 1 and 4 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. The Chump Line number, if you would like to leave such a message, is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. If you didn't hear your message or you just like to hear a second brand new Chump Line every evening, we have one. It's called Chopped Chumps. It's where we put the messages we didn't have room or time for just now. It's posted every evening, weeknights, around 7 p.m. Chopped Chumps, the second Chump Line of the day. Today's Chump Line is sponsored by Jake Rooney's in Harwichport. I love their tender steak tips, and the mailroom manager always gets their lobster roll packed with freshness. Come hungry and leave happy at Jake Rooney's.
Hi, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. There you go again, continuing to make sport of Lamara Healy. I mean, Mara Healy, because she's snorting. I mean, holding the line with Lamara. I mean, Lamar Cook. That young fella's anecdote was a nonviolent crime that was a failure of communication with a delivery person. After all, I'd rather see someone receive a full Coke package than violently throw an empty Coke can. We're going to be fine.
Perfect. That's the top Duvall of the year, I think. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
Officer Mark asks, will Maryland man receive retroactive EBT funds upon his release? He'll probably receive reparations and funds for emotional distress that he suffered and post-traumatic stress disorder for being picked up as an illegal alien, domestic abuser, human smuggler, gang member. Today's poll question is brought to you by All Family Pharmacy. This is your family pharmacy where you can get ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, antibiotics, and even your daily meds, all online. Go to allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10 to save 10% right now. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Howie and use code Howie10. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is when was the last time you went out to see a movie in a theater? Very recently, sometime this year, once in the last 3 to 5 years, or never?
Sometime this year, meaning late last year, just about 51 weeks ago.
14% say sometime this year, 54% say once in the last 3 to 5 years, 25% say never, 7% say very recently.
Move quickly if this sale goes through. Well, it may take a while. It's the theaters are going away, though. I think they pretty much everybody agrees on that. 844-500-4242. You know, I was wondering this morning, just thinking about the Brian Walsh murder case and how they have him dead to rights, and I was thinking, what are they going to do for a defense? And then they announced the defense rests, and sometimes discretion really is the better part of valor. I think they made the right move. There'll be a closing arguments tomorrow. Wouldn't you be surprised if there isn't a guilty verdict by tomorrow at this time? I can't imagine there won't be. 844-500-4242. I don't think we have time, but let's play Brandon Gill here. Congressman from Texas, Dartmouth guy, with somebody from the Juniper Research Group about Obamacare and what it was supposed to do and what it's really done. Representative Brandon Gill, go ahead, cut 10.
Obamacare was sold to the American people as a program that would drive down premiums. I think the number that was thrown out by President Obama at the time was $2,500. Has that promise come to fruition?
No, it has not, Congressman. And premiums on individual health insurance policies on the marketplaces and the exchanges more than doubled in the law's first 4 years, and that's primarily because of the regulatory mandates that the law imposed. And premiums have continued to increase substantially, and they continue to increase substantially more so on the exchanges than for employer-sponsored coverage.
So you would say that Obamacare didn't slow the growth of premiums in any meaningful way?
I think, if anything, quite the contrary. I mean, Senator Welch, I believe, last month admitted on the Senate floor that the law failed to reduce costs. But more than that, I think it's accelerated the cost growth because of the consolidation that has come about in terms of hospital mergers, insurers buying PBMs, et cetera, et cetera.
If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. How's that working out for you? I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. You know, There's so many police scandals out there, and it's not just in Norfolk County, it's not just in the city of Boston, it's not just the state police. Many of the local municipal departments in the cities and towns have major problems. Not all, and most cops are decent, but there are some bad problems, and some of the biggest problems haven't gotten nearly enough attention, mainly because Karen Reed sucked up all the oxygen for obvious reasons for a number of years. But one of the places where the corruption has been just breathtaking is the city of Methuen, up on the New Hampshire line next to the city of Lawrence. And they had a police chief there named Solomon, and the guy was out of control. He's now under indictment, and he had a cohort of corrupt cronies. I think it's safe to call them corrupt cronies. And it's an ongoing case. Solomon hasn't even come to trial yet, and one of his buddies is coming up for sentencing supposedly in a week or so, in front of a judge who happens to be the law partner of convicted felon House Speaker Thomas Finneran. So take that as you choose, as you figure out what's going to happen. But we are joined now by one of the investigators of the Methuen Police Department corruption that has dominated the news up there for a number of years. Larry Smith, he is a former state cop, and he's written a new book called 6 Degrees of Corruption, The Fleecing of a City. It's pretty amazing tale. It's very involved, but you can check it out. It's available at Amazon.com. 6 Degrees of Corruption, The Fleecing of a City by Larry Smith, L.P. Smith on the cover title. Larry, can you give us a 30-second Cliff Notes introduction to the corruption in Methuen for those who aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, it's a 20-year reign of powerful politicians basically protecting each other, and resulted in a one politician becoming a police officer who never went to an academy and forged his training records and then proceeded to arrest dozens of people.
And this is the guy, Fountain is his name, and he's the one who's coming up for sentencing in front of Judge Dressler next week. Do you think they're going to broom the case?
It seems like that might be the way it's going.
See, if they broom the case, if they don't give him active jail time, then he probably, if they give him probation, he won't be available. He'll refuse to testify against Solomon at his upcoming trial. Let's concentrate on Solomon, though, the former chief, Larry Smith.
Yeah.
Now, this guy, now, what was his salary? What did he finally get his salary up to before he was finally fired?
During that 2017 issue, the pay issue they had, he was up to about $325,000, I believe, and some of the captains are up to almost $500,000.
The captains were making $500,000?
Almost up to, some of them could have made up to $500,000, yes.
And this is in the city of Methuen. How many people live in the city of Methuen?
About 55,000.
55,000. The chief was making 325,000, and the captains were making 500,000. One of the captains was the son of a state senator, right?
That's correct.
That would be Jujuga.
Yeah, Jimmy Jujuga.
Yeah, and so tell us, Solomon. I love the story about the two police cars. Tell us the story. This is Chief Solomon. He's under indictment now, but he's still collecting a pension of $250,000 a year. How long has he been? But let's talk about the pension first. How long has Chief Solomon been collecting his pension, and how much has he collected?
Well, he's been collecting since January of 21. He was indicted in September of 23. So I don't know what he made between 21 and 23. I haven't done the math. But it's going to be 3 years, 35 months from the time he was indicted to the time the trial is in September of this year. That's going to be roughly $640,000 he'll earn while he's been under indictment.
Good Lord. 600, you know, and I talked about some of these state cops that like Dan Griffin. I mean, he didn't make anywhere near that. It's $645,000. Tell the people who haven't followed the case about the two police cars that that Chief Solomon had.
He had one that he could smoke cigars in and one that he didn't smoke cigars in. and they would drive around in the snowstorm and smoke cigars, so they would be out patrolling. But yet the other one was the smoke-free SUV.
He had a car, a patrol car, paid for by the taxpayers of the city of Methuen just for smoking cigars in.
Two of them, yeah. Well, one for that.
So how did he run this racket? How did he set up this racket that he ran the Methuen Police Department as? What was the scam he used? And I understand it. I've studied. I've read your book. Your book is really telling. It's overwhelming, actually, how bad it is. Tell us about the intermittent police officers.
Well, the intermittent police officers, the way they're supposed to work is basically you go to a part-time academy, an intermittent academy, and you get enough basics that you can then potentially become a part-time police officer in case of an emergency or something of that nature until you go to the academy. You had a limited time to do that. Well, in Methuen, they just decided some people, specifically the former city council president, didn't need to go to the police academy. They just gave him a badge and a gun and put him out on the street. No academy, no training, and no certification.
So,
and when they started asking questions, he forged his training records with the help of people in the command staff of Methuen.
He forged his academy records. I mean, this is, again, we've all been hearing a lot about the corruption in the Mass State Police and the Boston Police Department, among other places, but nothing like that has happened in those departments. I mean, this is insane. And my understanding is this whole concept of intermittent police was set up during World War II when most able-bodied males were in the military, so there was a shortage of officers. So they had to, just like in Hollywood, they brought back old guys to serve as the extras because there were no young guys around. Same thing in the Methuen Police Department. But after the end of World War II, they never got rid of this law allowing these quote-unquote intermittent cops. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct. And it's been resolved now with Post and the establishment and things of that nature. But up until Post, that was still an issue.
Why do you think this hasn't gotten as much play? And you could feel free to tell us about what happened to reporters covering this.
Oh, well, it comes down to fear, fraud, and favors. And that's basically how he was running the show over there. Give you the carrot, then you owe me the favor. And if I had power over you, it was, I will retaliate against you if I don't get what I want. There's documented cases of this, I mean, that are in the book that we can go over and over. And it's not just one or two, there's numerous. So I'm comfortable saying that. So that's how he used to, that's how he navigated what he needed. He either got it because he charmed you from it and now you owed him something, or he used the fear and intimidation.
And we're talking to Larry Smith.
That's how he ran that department. That's how he got his power.
And he did it to reporters, too, though, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Ellen Behan was one of them. There was a Lawrence reporter that had a three-part expose that was crushed. They pulled it the night before. And he ended up walking out of the Tribune and never worked there again.
Yeah, we tried to hire him at the Herald, but he was fed up with journalism, and I can't say as I blame him after that happened to him. And then the Globe had a reporter.
I don't think he's worked again.
Yeah, not as a reporter. Yeah, and then the Globe had a reporter on the case, and she used to work with me at the Herald, and she was a great reporter. She was the last real reporter at the Boston Globe, and after she worked on the Methuen case, they basically figured out a way to get rid of her. I don't know if it was connected or not, but she didn't make any friends with really superb, top-notch reporting on the Methuen police scandal.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly, and the general consensus was that she got fired for that. That was the general belief amongst everybody. Matter of fact, two of the city councils actually wrote letters to the editor of the Boston Globe calling them out for firing her for that reason.
She won a mediation, but she never went back to the Globe. It was it's really unfortunate because, again, they don't have any reporters there now, or any decent reporters. So why aren't the feds involved in this? This cries out for a federal intervention. Weren't they involved for a while in this, Larry?
They've had two different grand juries involving Chief Solomon, and both of them they've walked away from. I don't know what I mean. Obviously, as you know, they don't tell you when they're going to walk away or what they're doing. But we knew there were grand juries going because people talk. But that's all we knew. And I believe they walked away from that grand jury the same week the auto pen was going off in D.C.
Oh, boy. I hope they will check this situation out, and especially if something untoward happens at the sentencing of this guy Fountain. And so I guess the theory is that you don't have to name names, but that they're trying to protect someone else, and that the district attorney of Essex County has some connections to some of the people that are involved peripherally or not so peripherally in this case.
Oh, absolutely. I believe 100% he is conflicted and he shouldn't be anywhere near this case. He sponsored legislation that would have financially benefited one of the individuals we recommended criminal charges against and has not charged that individual.
This is District Attorney Tucker, who used to be the police chief of what, Salem?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And they're friendly through their professional associations and their times as chiefs.
Man, we like to think in Norfolk County we've cornered the market on corruption in Massachusetts, but there's plenty to go around, isn't there?
Howie, this was just so unbelievable. We had a hard time wrapping our heads around it. We thought we were wrong at first. But the evidence is the evidence, and the evidence speaks what it is. And that's what we came down to. It's shocking.
And this is Larry Smith, former state cop. He's written a book. It's called 6 Degrees of Corruption, The Fleecing of a City. You can buy it at Amazon.com. Do you have a website that people can go to read more before they buy the book, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. It's lpsmithauthor.com.
lpsmithauthor.com. Author.com. Let's, Jared, let's tweet that out. Tweet out the link to that, and so people can read up on it. This is just a shocking story. We're gonna be talking to the mayor. The mayor's going to be speaking at this sentencing on December 17th, if indeed there is a sentencing, if they don't just kick the can down the road again. But this is a very interesting book. The corruption is not confined to Norfolk County or Suffolk County. It's everywhere in Massachusetts, everywhere. Larry Smith, thanks for being with us. It's a great book, and I recommend it for people who want to get an idea of just how bad things are. If that's a good plug, I hope it is. This Christmas, thank you. As this Christmas, as we celebrate the gift of life, you have an opportunity to share that same gift with a mother and her baby. Imagine a young woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, feeling alone and unsure of what to do. She's searching for hope, and that's where Preborn Ministries comes in. Meet a young woman who was unmarried when she found out about her pregnancy. And when the angel Gabriel announced she would conceive by the Holy Spirit, it was a shocking and socially risky revelation. Joseph even considered quietly ending their engagement until an angel appeared to him as well. This divine appointment was the fulfillment of prophecy and salvation for all. Every mother Preborn serves faces a moment of decision when she sees her baby's ultrasound. In that sacred moment, she has the opportunity to say yes. Preborn's mission is to help her find the courage, faith, and support to do so. There are babies in their mother's wombs who need our help right now. As the year comes to a close, your tax-deductible donation can be the difference between life and death. Would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your gift of $5, $10, or $15,000 will be used to save countless babies for years to come. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 or donate securely at preborn.com/Howie. Whatever you can afford. $28 provides for one ultrasound. Five ultrasounds for $140. When a mother sees her baby, it's usually the decision becomes yes to save the baby's life. Whatever you can afford, go to preborn.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on X.
I've got to post a link with witty comment.
At Howie Carr Show. Howie Carr is back.
We just tweeted out the website for Larry Smith, lpsmithauthor.com, and the mayor of Methuen, who I used to work with him, we worked in the same office, DJ Beauregard, he released, there was a report that Larry Smith had done for the city, 203 pages, it was impounded. And he released it last month, and Jared is tweeting out a link to that report, so you can just go to methuen.gov/civic alerts. So if you want to read the original 203-page report, which was impounded until last month, it's really unbelievable what they got away with. And as people are saying, this is what happens in a one-party state. That's all you can say. It's horrible. And this state needs an enema. There's just no question about it. A lot of places in the United States need an enema. California is one of them. This is Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. He wants to see more trans kids, believe it or not. Trans kids, that means genital mutilation, puberty blockers, castration, breast removal. Horrible. Horrible. And he's in favor of it. And he's the front runner for the Democrat nomination for president. Listen to this. This is an interview with the LA Times. Cut 13.
Trans sports. That's an issue no one wants to hear about because 80% of the people listening disagree with my position on this. But it comes from my heart, not just my head. It wasn't a political evolution.
Your position being that?
I don't think it's... I want to see trans kids. I have a trans godson. There's no governor that's signed more pro-trans legislation than I have, and no one has been a stronger advocate for the LGBTQ community.
I want to see more trans kids. I think I mentioned earlier that, you know, you read in the history books, Carthage, when they were having problems with Rome and the Punic Wars, they sacrificed little kids. Seemed barbaric, right? It is barbaric. The Aztecs in Spain, before they were overthrown, they sacrificed kids from neighboring tribes. It was considered barbaric and horrible. Now it's considered woke. I'm Howie Carr.